That completes our old business. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. And since many of you are perhaps are not frequent attendees here at Planning and Zoning, I would like to welcome you here this evening and also to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left. He has some information for you regarding how we conduct our meetings and how we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated, this is the time and the place for the public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. All persons present are invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then Mr. Abbott will review the application and any agency comments or correspondence that has been received by his office. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses. After the applicant presents its case, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. Be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of both supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants will be permitted by the public. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Our first public hearing is Subdivision 2006-10, La Crosse Homes of Delaware, Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, by dividing 213.64 acres into 320 lots. This is a cluster development. It's located on the north side of Road 70, also known as Gordy Road, 1,500 feet west of Road 72, which is known as Wooden Road, and on both sides of Road 462, which is Trussell Pond Road. The TAC Technical Advisory Committee reviewed this application October 25th of 2006. That report will be made a part of the record. On the 18th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. That'll also be made a part of the record. And prior to the meeting tonight, I was handed three letters. We oppose the building of cluster homes on Trussell Pond Road and Gordy Road. And that was signed by Dell and Bonnie. I think you pronounce it Daigle. The second one is to whom this may concern. My name is M. Richard Roller. I live on Trussell Pond Road, Laurel, Delaware. I oppose this building of cluster homes in this area. Why do we have to build houses on good farmland, keep the farmland for growing melons, tomatoes, peas, or green? The homes that were built 2 to 3 years ago have not been sold, so why build now? And as I stated, that was signed by Richard Roller. And the last one is addressed to Planning Commission. We are writing this letter to express our opposition to the subdivision of 320 lots considered to be built on the 213.64 acres located between the roads of Trussell Pond Road and Gordy Road. Our reasons for not having this cluster development are, with 320 lots, there will be approximately 2 children per home, or an additional 640 children, and the Laurel schools are already overcrowded. Also, the Laurel Fire Department is already stretched to its limits without taking into effect the other proposed housing developments going up around Laurel. The roads that the additional 640 cars and trucks will be traveling on to get to this development are not made for this kind of traffic. We also also disagree to this development because it will destroy the tranquility of our country living. If we keep developing the farmland in this state, we will have to start buying our food from other states, raising the cost of eating, which is already outrageous. This proposed development will affect a lot of people for a long, long time to come, and not all of it will be good. We don't need another mini town in the country. If we wanted to live in town, we would not have bought our place in the country. And that was signed by Michael and Sharon Lowe. I'll pass those down for your review. They'll also be made a part of the record. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Randy Duplesham with Davis Bone and Friedle, 23 North Walnut Street, Milford, Delaware. And I'm here tonight representing La Crosse Homes on the village at Trussum Pond. As stated, this proposed development is a 320-unit single-family home project that will be a cluster development. It is located on both sides of Trussum Pond Road. There's approximately 178.5 acres on the south side and approximately 35 acres on the north side of Trussum Pond Road. The development will be accessed The development will be accessed from both Trussum Pond Road and from Gordy Road to the south and Trussum Pond Road to the north. All the subdivision streets will be built to DLDOT standards. They'll be turned over to DLDOT for maintenance, and they'll include curb, gutter, sidewalk, and street lights along both sides of each one of the streets. The development will include a centrally located clubhouse and pool facility. Surrounding the pool facility and clubhouse is approximately 24 acres of open space. And within the open space areas, there's additional amenities, which include basketball court and tot lots and some other amenities, the landscaping and what have you. Within the entire southern portion, there's about 64 acres of open space. And I know the cluster development ordinance requires 30% of the entire property be in open space. This project has all of the requirements met within just the southern portion of the development within the residential section. On the north side of the property, there's an additional 11 acres of open space, which will have a soccer field / lacrosse field and a gazebo and walking paths. Just north of that park area is where wastewater treatment facility is proposed. And that facility is going to be a community system that's going to be owned and operated by Tidewater Utilities. Tidewater will also be providing central water system for this project. The soils work for this, wastewater area has already been completed. We have received the statement of feasibility from DENREC that the soils are feasible to allow the wastewater facility to occur at that location. Prior to tonight, we'd performed a traffic impact study. And we received comments from DLDOT on that study, and there were some recommendations related to some road widening work and also some pedestrian access and those type of things. So that's the quick version of the project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anybody has any. Mr. Gordy.
So what type of buffering are you having along the perimeter of the subdivision?
The entire perimeter will have at least a 30-foot buffer. That'll be landscaped. Some areas it's larger than that, but it's a minimum 30-foot buffer around the perimeter.
Okay. What type of materials are you planning on using as far as your...
There's a mix of trees and shrubs that'll be in that area. We haven't specified exactly what they will be, but it'll be a mix of trees and shrubbery. Provide a nice dense buffer there.
And you stated your amenities, majority of the amenities are inside the main area of the housing?
That's correct. We have a clubhouse and pool facility. There's also a basketball court proposed. And there's a tot lot also proposed in the central area. And then on the north side of the of Trussell Pond Road is a soccer field proposed, and then a gazebo and open space area for other activities.
And you say there's sidewalks on both sides or one side?
Both sides of both each side. Street, that's correct.
And something about walking trails, is that just on the other side of Trussell Pond Road?
That would be on the other side, that is correct.
That would be through how many miles of walking trails are you?
I'm not sure exactly how many miles, but it would come out from the roadway to the gazebo areas. There may be some additional walking trails within the open space because they are fairly large, but at this time we're not showing those.
And is there sufficient enough land on the entrances to have a bus stop?
Yes, we should be able to provide a bus stop.
If one's needed?
Sorry?
If one's needed?
If one's needed, yes. Okay. We could do it either internally or externally, depending on what the school would like to see.
And your stormwater management, what type of ponds are you looking? Or dry ponds or wet ponds?
All wet ponds. Within the project. The soil conservation is asking that we meet some best management practice rules, and they'll have wetlands perimeter along each one of the ponds, and we'll also, where we can, introduce some bioswales and those type of things.
Now, did this go through the PLUS process?
Yes, sir, it did.
Is there comments in here, or?
I believe so. They're in one of the exhibits in the rear of the project.
The last tab.
We had submitted a response letter, you know, addressing the comments that we could with 2PLUS, and I think the county received a response letter back from PLUS.
We do have a response to that?
We received Mrs. Holland's letter, yeah.
But your response to the PLUS is not in here?
I believe it is.
Oh, it
also,
is in here.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
Mr. Gordy, it looks like what they did is they took the PLUS letter, actually, like we've asked, and it looks like the original writing is in italics, and their responses are in regular font. When you go through that letter, it's sort of hard to realize that at first blush. I'll tab. Yeah.
So is there any wooded area on the property now?
There's some wooded area that's on the northern side, but we're really not going to be impacting that. It's basically, as you see on the map, the wooded area that's shown on the north side is really the extent of the wooded area that's existing. And there's about a little over half an acre of wetlands that are within those areas too, and we're providing buffers from those wetlands. There's really very little, if any, disturbance of the wooded area. The majority of the property that we're developing, or I'd say most of the property we're developing, is non-wooded.
So you'll save as many trees as possible?
Don't think we're even touching
them. Well, you're not going to touch them. That's even better. How much open space are you calculating that you'll have?
We have, I believe it's a total of, let me check that and see. I think it was something around 95 acres. And there's 64 acres that are on the south side, and there's another 11 acres on the north. So it may be closer to, I have those numbers. It's more like 75 acres, I'm sorry, instead of 95.
75 total acres. But most of your open space is going to be on the other side there, right?
Now, most of this open space is going to be in the residential section. We have almost 24 acres in open space just surrounding the clubhouse area, with the green areas between the roadways.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about 11 acres that are on the north side that are recreational.
Okay.
And I believe there's a 30% requirement, which is a little over 64 acres, and we're meeting that requirement for the cluster development entirely on the south side, excluding 11 acres on the north side.
That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple questions, and one of which, in reviewing the PLUS comments, a question that was brought up by our Mr. Couts. Would you be kind enough to explain to the commission how this proposed development provides for a total environment and design which is superior to that allowed under the standard lot option?
Well, we feel it's it meets a lot of those aspects. Again, the open space requirements, the amount of open space that's being provided for this development well exceeds the requirements, and then the amenities that we're proposing in those open spaces nice features that you don't generally see in residential developments: the clubhouse, the pool facilities, the landscaping areas, sidewalks on both sides of each one of the streets, plus we have strategic pond locations that'll be wet ponds that provide additional amenities and visual as well as non-visual habitat, those type of things. So we feel that it's a much desirable community to live in. It's the lot sizes, even though the minimum lot sizes I believe are 7,500 square feet, these are in the 9,000 plus range. We just feel it's a nice layout and a nice community that would be a great place to live.
Thank you. And one of the 99.9C items the first one is the integration of this subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. And explain to me again, this would come about, through your buffering? And
that is correct. We're providing buffering around the perimeter of the development, and I said it's a minimum of 30 feet. There's some areas on the southern side and even on the northern side that we have quite a bit more of buffering from the development or from the farmlands that are adjacent to it. So we kind of centrally tried to pull everything into the center portion of the property as much as possible, but still provide centrally located open space. It's not that far away from the town of Laurel. It's relatively close in relation to the town limits, so we feel it'd be a nice amenity to that area.
But that Mr. Robertson has restrictions and covenants on this?
That is correct. We've submitted those, and I believe they've been reviewed, if I'm not mistaken.
And the home that will be allowed under those restrictive covenants, will that be a stick-built home?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Have any other questions at this time? Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you share with us what your definition is of open space?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Can I walk up here?
Sure.
This is right here is an open space area. This is about 8 acres here. Then we have another section here and here. These are each about 3 acres. We have this area here, which again is almost 4 acres. And then this section here, which is about 2.5 acres. And then the center, which is really where the community facility is, with the pool, clubhouse, tot lot, and basketball court, that's around 6 acres. So just surrounding this area here is a total active open space of over 24 acres. And then we have the passive open space, which is around the perimeters as well as the stormwater management ponds, that in total, just on this side, is 64 acres. We have an additional 11 acres plus on the north side, which is really for activities that may be a little bit larger. If there's a family that has children that are on a soccer team or what have you, there's a place to have soccer practice or even games this year. There's also plenty of space within these areas to have those types of activities as well. And this would be more of a family picnic gazebo area where they could come out and congregate in a larger group. So that's basically the open space.
Thank you. I guess my next question I have for you would be, could you summarize what road improvements DelDOT's wanting you to
If I could do? Walk back up here again.
Sure.
There's very little traffic on the roadway system right now, and basically what DelDOT is requiring is for us to upgrade Gordy Road from our westerly entrance all the way to Wooten, and then Wooten out to where it ties into Trussell Pond Road. So it would be this section of road from basically here to here, which I don't know if you can see it on this plan, but it's from here to this point here. And they're asking us to widen that to DLDOT's minimum roadway standards, which are 11-foot lanes with 5-foot shoulders. And then there's some minor, they're asking for sidewalks within the community. They're asking for some pedestrian, you know, type access and that type of thing. But that's the major improvement DLDOT has requested.
No request for improvements on the Trussell Pond Road?
There was none.
That seems to be in more need of service than the other road when I was out there today.
I'm not sure the reason why that was. Obviously, with the study, it was something that was not warranted with what was presented to them and what they approved.
Where would you anticipate the main entrance is going to be to this project?
The main entrance to the project?
Would that be off Trussell Pond or off of the Gordy Road?
It really would be off of both. This is this entrance here, obviously, is off of Trussell Pond, and then we have the entrance off of Gordy. Typically, the main entrance would be wherever the clubhouse would be closest, but in this case, it's kind of centralized. So it's almost a choice between, you know, where the people are coming from, where they've gone and coming back to. I think they both act as main entrances to the development. So.
And I'd like to go back to some of Mr. Smith's questions concerning 99-9C, because I did note that in the response to plus comments, there was a statement in there saying that you would address each of the specifics items of 99-9C, but I'm not sure that all those specifics have been addressed, either in the material that I have in front of me or in the presentation. So perhaps Mr. Couts or the council can address if there's some of those missing points on the 99-9C that haven't been presented. And I guess I fall back also to Mr. Smith's question in terms of how this project, in light of where it's located in a farming community, would be superior to a standard subdivision. You know, oftentimes we see the cluster developments near the town centers and rather than out in the middle of farm country.
Well, I believe a standard subdivision, obviously you won't have the open space that this one affords, the residents of the development. And I think that's the biggest thing in a cluster development is the ability to cluster the development such that you can provide much more open space. And I believe this accomplishes it, beyond what the ordinance even requires. I think it's a very nice design, a very nice layout for the development, and I think it very much accomplishes the purpose of the cluster development ordinance. The density on this property is 1.5 units per acre. It's obviously not a very dense development for the 213 acres. And typically what you see in a lot of developments is a lot of wetlands. This property has very little wetlands. And the woodlands that are there we're preserving. So it's a full you could take advantage of the entire development or the entire property and develop it. And I think this, by saving and preserving the trees and providing the greater amount of open space, I think it definitely meets what the cluster ordinance was intended to do.
And in terms of the sensitive areas that obviously are close by, whether it's Trussell Pond or the branch, what kind of measures will be taken to ensure that that ecosystem won't be disrupted, whether it's stormwater runoff or dirt runoff or et cetera?
Well, the branch obviously is on the north side, and the development, most of the development is occurring on the south side of the property. So sediment erosion control, obviously we have to meet those requirements as well as stormwater management. Majority of that is going to take place on the south side, which is away from the branch. And there's a wastewater treatment facility that's proposed in that area, but it, from what I understand, it's going to be a RIP system, which is a kind of a self-contained system that will also be away from the wooded and wetlands area. So we are taking advantage of staying away from that the branch as much as possible. And I think at one time we had some homes on the north side, and those were removed after getting some of the comments that we received, and that was one of the reasons we did that. So, and we're providing all that area on the north side as open space for the most part, and it definitely addresses the branch in that instance.
And could you tell us about how much of a setback there is from the wetlands from the stormwater management area?
Well, there is no wetlands on the south.
I mean, not stormwater, but the sewer treatment area.
I think we're providing a minimum 50-foot buffer from all the wetlands, and that's what is shown at this point.
So you're proposing a 50-foot setback from the sewer treatment area from the wetlands?
Well, from the perimeter of where the sewer treatment may go, but the sewer system has not been designed yet. It's still in the design process, so it could potentially be in further distance away from that. But the area that's designated for wastewater is at least 50% from the wetlands, or 50 feet from the wetlands, I should say.
Okay.
Which I believe is what is generally accepted as county requirements. So.
And obviously in reading the plus comments, what the universal theme that we received in this project, which is not unusual with a lot of projects, but the state's opposition to this development here in an area 4, how might you address that in terms of the impact on the schools and the area and the state requirements to provide service to this area, which is not close to a town center.
How much of the impact do we believe it will? Well, as you know, that is a standard statement that they oppose anything in level 4 areas. They've always said that they send their resources into level 1 and 2 areas, but as I've seen, the state hasn't sent many resources into level 1 and 2 areas. So a lot of times the developers are putting up those resources as well. But this is a project that's not going to come out of the ground with 320 units automatically. It's going to be over time. So the impacts to the school system obviously is going to be a gradual impact. I know the schools are going through referendums and expanding and those type of things, so we anticipate that would be the same process here. The takedown on this, I don't know how many homes we'll sell. Hopefully we'll sell quite a number a year, but we don't know what that rate's going to be at this point. So, but it is going to be a gradual process. It's not going to be a full 320 unit development impact on the schools and infrastructure in that area. So.
Do you have a projected number of homes you want to build per year?
I do not know that at this time. I'm sure we would like to do 70, 80 homes a year, but I'm not sure if that's realistic in the economy that is right now. So.
I don't have any further questions this time.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Couts.
Just so to make sure the commission understands, when this went to plus, the request was for 402 units. It's now been reduced to 320, so in case the commission might have missed that. The only thing I'll say about the Superior in Design and 99C is that I think that aerial photograph that's up there right now kind of speaks for itself, so I don't have any other comments.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
I don't have any questions either.
All right, sir. We thank you.
The chairman.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, one more?
One.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Are there any tax ditches in the project site?
No.
No tax ditches?
Not in the I don't believe the branch is a tax ditch either, so no, we do not.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you'll stand down for a few minutes, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor
of subdivision 2006-10, LaCrosse Homes of Delaware, Inc. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-10? All right, sir. Step right up. I need you to come up front here, sir. I need you to give us your name and address, and then the floor is yours. We gotta get you on tape.
My name is Louis Lowe. I live at 1336 Wooden Road, Laurel, Delaware.
All right, sir. Thank you. Go ahead.
First thing, I want to know where the entrance is at. We couldn't see none of this. In other words, it was up front. I want to know where the entrance is at on Trussman's Pond.
Mr. Duplashane, would you point that out, or one of your...
You'll have to turn it around so there's other people here for to see.
Yeah, we saw the presentation, so it's probably worthwhile to make sure everybody sees if you want to spin it a little bit.
We have an entrance located here on Gordy Road, and we have another northerly entrance located on Trussman Pond Road.
Would you pick that up and turn it toward the okay, good. That's what we need.
The Gordy Road, is that right at the intersection?
Of
72 and 70?
This is the intersection. Are you talking about Wooten Road?
You said that Gordy Road, yeah.
It's to the west of the right. Intersection.
Okay, another thing, they said there's not any wetlands. I used to own this land. On the northwest part of the farm, it's wet.
There's about, up in this area, and I believe there's a spot over here, is about 0.68 acres of wetland.
There's more than that.
Well, I can tell you this much. I own some land about 5 miles from there. It's wet all the time. It's not wetlands.
It may not be wetlands, but I know
I know. I'm just telling you that the man's not lying to you. It's not. It may not be considered wetlands, and it can still be wet. And I just learned that about 6 months ago myself, that I thought wet was wet, but...
You go ahead there and explain it here, and you'll find out how wet it is.
I'm just trying to help you out, but I'm going to stop now. You go ahead.
And another thing, Delta has took a survey of the traffic. I don't know where they're coming up with, but they ought to live on Wooden and Gordy Road, and then they'd find out how much traffic that there is. There's no way in this world that we can stand the traffic for 320 homes. And they must be going to be like row houses, as much clear land as they say that there's going to be. Time you take your streets out, cul-de-sacs and everything else, they can't be very big. That's my opinion.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Kelly Hastings, 33807 Gordy Road. My property joins up with this property here. And we were asked about the buffer zones. And like Mr. Lowe said, the whole center that does stay wet. Where are they going to run this water at? And they're saying they're wanting to put this sewer system on the other side of Trussman's Road, am I correct? Right behind Trussman's branch.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So there's your branch that runs right into the river, right into the Nanticoke River. And as it was stated in your letter, 320 houses, that's 640 more cars on our roads that we can't even stand now. Our roads can't even take what we got. Our schools can't, and our fire company can't. Our electric's so bad out there, with the diesel, the wind blows, we don't even have enough electric to supply what we do have out there. That's my opinion.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate having
real
you
quick,
on record.
If we could just have your name again.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
What was it?
Kelly Hastings.
Kelly Hastings, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. First.
Good evening. Chacon Toppin, 12908 Trussman Pond Road. I just had a question about the wastewater treatment facility in relation to the houses on Trussman Pond Road. How far away would that be from that? The wastewater treatment?
From the existing?
Yes, on Trussman Pond Road. I live at the corner of Trussman Pond and Wooten Road, almost at the corner.
Probably the other map. I'm not sure where the homes are in this area, but this is about 11 acres here.
Okay.
So it's a pretty far distance away. This is where the community facility is proposed. And one thing I wanted to point out is that the community system, there's actually a wastewater treatment plant that handles the wastewater and treats it prior to it being discharged into the RIB system, which is a rapid infiltration bed system. But the distances, I would guess, from the closest home, which probably would either be this one or this one, I don't have a scale here to tell me, but it's probably 600 to 1,000 feet or so, I'm just guessing. It's a pretty good distance here. Like I said, it's an 11 acres area that buffers that from the roadway.
Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, right here in the front.
Thank you. My name is Michael Lowe. I live at 12818 Trussell Pond Road, directly across from, or directly in front of and behind this whole development. Mm-hmm. One of the main things that I'm concerned about, for one, the water ponds that they're talking about putting in is roughly going to be 30 feet from my backyard. I'm wondering how deep they're going to be, for one thing, and if they'd have any effect on existing water wells in the area. If he can answer that.
Sir, please.
The ponds are required by soil conservation to be no deeper than 6 feet in water depth. Mm-hmm. They'll have a safety bench all the way around them of at least 10 feet that'll be 1 foot below the water level. Mm-hmm. And then the side slopes will be 4-1 going into the pond. So there's plenty of safety. Generally these ponds are anywhere from 3 to 6 feet deep. Mm-hmm. So they would not have any impact on your wells. Your well is probably at least 55 feet plus. Mm-hmm. So they would have no impact on your wells.
Okay, thank you. In regards to that, mm-hmm. seems to me that that's going to be a big mosquito pond in the summertime. I mean, mosquitoes are bad in that area now as it is. Also regarding the road, Trussell Pond Road has a traffic light at the Route 13 intersection. Gordy Road does not. Most of that traffic coming to this development is going to go where the traffic light is, I assume, or I would presume. And that road, the Trussell Pond Road, just like Gordy Road, but it is more of a country round-top road. It's not capable of handling that much traffic now. The wastewater treatment plant across the road from Trussell Pond, on the north side of Trussell Pond Road, has a branch that runs through it, which has been previously stated, and it runs from Route 24 through the woods over to Trussell Pond Road. If we were to have another flood that we had last year, what's to say that that wouldn't overflow this wastewater treatment plant into that and pollute Trussell Pond that is already overpolluted? And I'm just not in favor of this because it's just way too much population for this piece of country. It's just going to overwhelm this part of the country town. So, right now, that's all I can think of.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Dubleshane, the gentleman does raise a good question about the wastewater system in the event of an excessive amount of rain. Is it the type of system that has the capability of overflowing, or what can you tell us about that situation?
Well, the wastewater facility, the treatment is a wastewater treatment plant. So it'll come out of the plant at almost drinking water levels. And then the disposal is set up on what they call a rapid infiltration bed system. And it's an area that is kind of a self-contained grouping of beds that have berms around them of approximately a foot to 2 foot. And what they do is they alternate the discharge into each one of these beds and let it infiltrate into the ground.
Okay.
So the likelihood of it overflowing in a storm event, because they are sized for to handle storm events as well, would be unlikely. But the other point I wanted to make is that the property that where this treatment plant is going to go is approximately 10 feet higher than the elevations along that branch. And I think there's also in the booklet we gave you, the location for the 100-year floodplain, there's a 100-year floodplain map in there, and you can see that it's on the lower end, you know, away from where the wastewater facility is going to go. There is a fairly steep drop off there, though. It goes from around elevation 31 or so down to 22 at the edge of the branch. So.
All right then. Are you here to help him, or are you here to have a question?
My name is Dan String. I'm with Greenstone Engineering. We're here to represent Tidewater Utilities, which is the utility that is going to own and operate that wastewater treatment plant. So he actually did an excellent job of explaining what the treatment plant is and how the roof systems work. The treatment system itself is all concrete tankage that is well above the ground and certainly above all the floodplains. But he did an excellent job. So I don't think we need to add much to that.
All right. Well, it's always nice to have a helper, I guess. Is there anyone here that else would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Well, those of you who had an interest in this, have an interest in this application, appreciate you being here tonight. We'll close the public hearing. You're welcome to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may just wish to call the Planning and Zoning Office in the morning. Thank you. Our next public hearing.